Thank you very much. I'll now call on Lloyd Cameron to introduce our guest speaker.
It's with great pleasure that I introduce Adam Hayward, a former student of mine. Adam is the son of Rick and Cora and the grandson of Clint and Thelma Hayward. After graduating from James M. Hill, Adam attended Mount Allison, where he obtained a Bachelor of Arts. Then he attended Crandall University, where he studied for his Bachelor of Education. Presently, he's a teacher at Miramichi Rural, where he's highly respected by his colleagues and well-liked by his students. One of his interesting experiences occurred 2 years ago when he spent New Year's in the Antarctic, thus enabling him to cross off another continent in his quest to visit all continents, leaving just Australia and Asia on his list. During the last academic year, Adam studied at the University of Amsterdam, where he was awarded his master's degree, concentrating on the Holocaust and genocide studies. The topic of his presentation today is Kids These Days, Genocide and Superheroes. Adam, welcome.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Cameron. So I received a call from Reverend McGuire about a month ago asking me if I would mind coming in to give the sermon during the Remembrance Weekend service. Now, it's not every day I receive a call from a reverend asking for a favor, so how could I say no? I asked Charlene, what would you like me to speak about? Her response was, Adam, it is up to you. Just talk about what you know best and tie it in with the theme of remembrance. Before she hung up, she noted that she would be away that weekend and would not be in attendance. I immediately thought to myself, well, since the reverend won't be there, maybe the rest of the congregation won't show up and this will be easy. But here you are. So just in case you did show up today, I began to brainstorm about what Reverend McGuire meant by talk about what you know best and relate it to remembrance. So I managed to narrow it down my discussion to three things I know best: kids these days, genocide, and superheroes. While at first glance, it may seem difficult to relate these topics and tie them in with the theme of remembrance, that is exactly what I intend to do. I am somewhat of an authority in all three topics. With regards to kids these days, I've been a teacher for the past 7 years and have seen several hundred students come in and out of my classroom. When it comes to genocide, I have traveled to Rwanda twice to meet with and learn from survivors of the horrific genocide. Sorry, every time I mention that. Thought I could get through this, but it seems like when Rwanda comes up, the memories come back. Twice to meet and learn from survivors of the horrific genocide that occurred there 20 years ago, which claimed the lives of 1 million people in 100 days. My first visit had such an impact on me that last year I attended the University of Amsterdam and received a master's degree in Holocaust and Genocide Studies. As far as superheroes go, it may surprise many of you that I actually have one as a family member. I begin with the theme of kids these days, and weave in the topic of genocide as we wind toward our discussion of superheroes. As a teacher, I often hear parents and colleagues alike use the phrase kids these days, but rarely, if ever, is this phrase used with positive connotations. Kids these days have no respect. Kids these days just don't care. Kids these days are lazy. We make these statements as if the current generation of adults was somehow better and more well-behaved as youth than the generation that came afterwards, that our morals and values were more pronounced and embedded than those of kids these days. But I have a feeling adults have been saying kids these days since the dawn of time. Allow me to tell you a few stories to prove my point. While the Bible teaches us very little about the life of Jesus as a child, Luke does give us some insight in chapter 2, verses 41 to 51. He relays the story of Jesus sneaking off as a child and going missing for 3 days before his panicked parents managed to locate him in the temple in Jerusalem. When Mary found Jesus, she said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." I can just imagine Mary grabbing the 12-year-old Jesus by the hand, marching off in a huff and turning to Joseph, saying, "Kids these days." In much the same way we all do when we are exasperated by something a youth did. This statement often comes out of worry about the future of mankind when kids these days grow up to be leaders in our society. There is no need to go on and talk about how short-sighted this comment would have been when applied to Jesus, as we are all well aware of the person he became. This kid grew up and became the Savior of man. Now, let's fast forward approximately 1,914 years to the small town of Hartland, New Brunswick. A 5-year-old boy and a 6-year-old brother were begrudgingly dressed for their first day of school in matching outfits. The attire was comprised of shorts, suspenders, and a collared shirt. Upon arriving at school, the playground bully immediately singled out the older brother and began teasing and taunting him for his mother's choice of clothing. Seeing this, the younger brother decided he would not be a bystander and allow his older brother to be picked on. I won't go on to say what young Clint Hayward did to the bully, but needless to say, the bullying stopped, and neither of the brothers, nor anyone else on the playground for that matter, needed to worry about being picked on again by this individual. Clint's mother was summoned to the school to pick up her son as he was suspended on his very first day of school. Once again, I can imagine Mrs. Hayward storming out of the school, holding young Clint by the hand, saying, "Kids these days." As well as the first grade teacher going to the staff room saying, "I had to suspend a child on the first day of school. What will the world become when we have to rely on kids these days?" But these comments would also prove to be very short-sighted. As when war broke out in 1939, our nation, and the world for that matter, was in need of hundreds of thousands of young men and women who showed the same intestinal fortitude, values, and selflessness as young Clint Hayward did on his first day of school. The world was in desperate need of people who were willing to stand up to bullies. At the age of 18, Clint's older brother Clarence signed up to go to war. And in keeping with tradition, the 17-year-old Clint asked his older brother if he would mind lying about his age so he too could go to war. What possessed Clint to enlist was the same gut instinct to protect his older brother that saw him stand up to the bully on the very first day of school. Once again, the brothers donned similar dress, but this time it was that of the Royal Canadian Air Force. Once again, there was a bully to be fought. However, this time, the bully was much greater than that faced on the school grounds. It was an entire nation mobilized for war, bent on world domination, and tainted by radical racial ideology, determined to rid the world of Jews. In fact, it was during World War II, in 1943, that lawyer Raphael Lemkin first coined the term genocide to describe the ongoing slaughter of European Jewry at the hands of the Nazis. Now, I'm certain Clint Hayward is not the only one of his generation who got in trouble in school or whose parents or teachers uttered the words, "kids these days." I'm sure each of the veterans before us today can think of a similar situation. But when World War II started, it was these kids whom the world relied upon to save it from tyranny. It was these kids who wouldn't stand by while innocent people were suffering and being slaughtered half a world away. It was these kids who offered their own lives as a sacrifice for others. Now, let me turn to the kids these days I know. The kids I see come and go from my classes each day, and the kids I hear many adults speak of when they say with a frustrated sigh, "kids these days." When I hear people say this, I think they are being just as short-sighted as adults have been in previous generations, as the kids these days I see possess many of the same values our veterans did when they answered the call of humanity. In fact, I can honestly say that kids these days have a much greater understanding and empathy for their fellow man than I did when I was their age. If, as we say, actions really do speak louder than words, then allow me to give you three examples. This picture was taken November 1st at James M. Hill High School. While kids in my day began stockpiling cartons of eggs and toilet paper leading up to Halloween, kids these days at James M. Hill were learning about people in our community who were in need of nutritious meals. These kids decided to forego traditional trick-or-treating and opted to go door-to-door and not ask for candy, but for food items to donate to the Miramichi Food Bank. Their efforts resulted in over 3,000 items being donated to the food bank. Just last night, I returned from a cyberbullying conference in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. This conference was attended by influential politicians, the heads of internet security of Facebook, Google, and Microsoft, presidents of universities, teachers, scholars, RCMP officers, and lawyers. The most interesting thing about this conference is these learned professionals were not there to lead the conference. They were not summoned as guest speakers, and they did not organize this conference. The entire weekend was organized and led by kids these days, just like you see Nicholas on the screen. Kids these days from just upriver in Eel Ground woke up at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning to drive to Charlottetown during their long weekend to participate in the conference, collaborate with their peers, and teach us experts the effects of cyberbullying and what we need to do to stop it. Finally, allow me to present to you a segment of a video, actually I'll play the whole video, created by middle school students at Miramichi Rural School last year. While I was studying genocide in Amsterdam, every now and again, I would Skype in with my students at Miramichi Rural to see how they were doing, but they always seemed much more interested in what I was learning. Two girls took particular interest in genocide studies and the plight of the people of Rwanda after the 1994 genocide. They rallied their classmates to their cause and convinced them they needed to do something to help those who were orphaned during the genocide. They not only created this video to raise awareness, they also began a fundraising campaign and raised over $1,200, enough for a full scholarship for a Rwandan who was orphaned during the genocide to gain a post-secondary education.
Imagine being targeted for death because you are believed to belong to the wrong ethnic group, race, religion, or nationality.
Imagine losing everything you own, everything you know, everything you love.
Throughout our world, tens of millions of innocent civilians have been victims of genocide in the past 100 years alone.
In fact, prominent scholars such as Samuel Totten have dubbed the 20th century as the century of genocide.
Genocide is not a natural disaster. Its victims are not collateral damage of war. It's deliberately planned to eradicate a targeted population.
During World War II, the Nazi regime led by Adolf Hitler set out on a campaign to rid the world of Jews.
This led to the brutal killing of 6 million people in gas chambers of concentration camps and killing fields of Eastern Europe.
Over the course of 100 days in 1994, the Hutu extremist government of Rwanda carried out a planned extermination of its Tutsi population.
Within 3 months, they had murdered at least 500,000 men, women, and children.
Since the genocide in Sudan began in 2003, over 400,000 innocent people have lost their lives, and this number continues to climb.
Over 400 villages have been destroyed, and those who have managed to survive have been forced to flee their homes.
Over the course of 2 days, the genocide in Srebrenica claimed the lives of 8,000 men and boys as they were executed by the Serb military.
Most survivors of genocide are left with nothing. Many lost their families. Their homes and towns were destroyed, and they were forced to rebuild their lives from scratch.
These people are now forced to spend what little money they have on food, shelter, and caring for other family members.
Perhaps the most devastating result of a genocide is the number of children who are left on their own in the aftermath.
In Rwanda, up to 400,000 children struggle to survive without one or both parents.
Studies suggest that there is a link between low levels of education and a higher risk of conflict.
In present-day Rwanda, there are very few educational opportunities beyond secondary school.
Many survivors must start from scratch. They do not have the means to pay for university education.
Post-Genocide Education Fund, PGEF, is designed to provide funds to allow survivors of genocide pursue post-secondary education. You can help PGEF help students in countries ravaged by genocide gain access to education by donating to PGEF or by purchasing We Cannot Forget. Any contribution can make an astonishing difference in a genocide survivor's life. It can help to move a person from a life of impoverishment and little hope to one in which he or she not only thrives personally, but can make a remarkable difference in his or her own country by helping others in need.
That was amazing for me to have my students send this to me while I was actually in Rwanda when I received this video. It was very touching. If we actually go back to the picture. Yes. Now, this is my friend Jean. I met Jean on my last trip to Rwanda this past March. And it was Jean who was actually the recipient of the scholarship of the $1,200 the students at Miramichi Rural School raised. Jean will graduate this coming June with a degree in computer science. Every Sunday, I receive an email from Jean asking how my students are and reminding me how very special kids these days are. If it were not for them, he says, he would have remained in a state of depression, hunger, and without prospects for his future. While in Rwanda, I asked John what his plans were for the future now that he could attend school. He said, I do not know because this idea of having plans is very new to me. Before, I had nothing, so I could only have hopes. But thanks to the students in Miramichi, I can now start making plans, and I can assure you they will be great. Because I cannot disappoint these students who helped me so much. Imagine, kids these days from right here in Miramichi are not only aware of those in need in their own community and giving of themselves by conducting food drives, but are also attending cyberbullying conferences during the weekend to teach experts from across North America about how to put an end to it. Kids these days in Miramichi aren't turning a blind eye to people in Rwanda who are in need like previous generations did. They've recognized that there is injustice and inequality in our world, just like our veterans, and are taking actions to right those wrongs. Now, let me bring into this discussion the idea of superheroes. I strongly believe the values possessed by these kids, by the kids I just described, and their actions are directly related to the superheroes they have seen in films and have read about throughout their lives. While kids these days in Canada do enjoy going to movies like Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man, these are not the superheroes I speak of. In Canada, each year on November 11th, and the week leading up to Remembrance Day, kids these days study, reflect upon, and commemorate the real-life superheroes that risk their lives fighting for justice, human rights, and the good of all mankind. It is a fact that we celebrate Remembrance Day in Canada and applaud the values of selflessness, sacrifice, and global citizenship embodied by our veterans that these values are passed on from generation to generation. While many of our superheroes, like my grandfather, have traded in their capes for canes, it is our duty to ensure that future generations recognize that these superheroes, our veterans, did not possess superpowers because they were bitten by a radioactive spider or they came from the planet Krypton. But their superpowers came from something that is attainable for us all. It was simply the fact that they refused to be bystanders while others were in need. Beyond remembering this and ensuring future generations remember this, it is our duty as Canadians to ensure that we act upon this and model these behaviors to our youth. I challenge you all this Remembrance Day and those to come to not only remember our superheroes, our veterans, but to honor this memory and honor their sacrifice, but not by not being bystanders in our world, by committing yourself to doing an act of kindness, by sacrificing a small part of your day to help someone in our community or beyond who is in need. Kids these days are already doing it, but they need adults these days to continue to model this behavior to ensure that the values and morals possessed by our veterans are not only remembered, but continue to thrive in our community.
Thank you very much, Adam. Thank you for sharing your gift of knowledge of kids these days and genocide.